Not too long ago over in Florida, we were there under the tent in Orlando. Our brother Denny back here that sang over my head, he was in charge of the services down there in Orlando. And we was having a meeting and God had blessed the tent. Good sized tent, and the tent was filled up and people were standing around the back. And Denny was singing and God was moving. And that night when I took the mic, we began to talk to the people. The people got to praising God and they just kept on praising God and kept on praising God and kept on praising God until the Holy Ghost was all over that place. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Somebody love Jesus! Amen! Folks, we're here to love Jesus tonight. Don't be ashamed to love Him! Hallelujah! Glory to God! And the Holy Ghost came down in there, and I'll tell you, me and Denny and all of us had us a good time. Hallelujah. That's one thing about the Holy Ghost. He ain't selfish. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't danced in a long time on the platform, but I could tonight if you just kept on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord tonight? God's doing something wonderful, and God's doing something good, and God's here tonight. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to be in the presence of Jesus. He so loved us that He was willing to spill His blood for us. That's wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. I want to talk with you just a little bit. Praise God with you just a little bit. Now, if you'll pardon my shirt. Amen. I guess you kept seeing me trying to close my coat up. You'll have to pardon my shirt. When I left the afternoon service, I decided to talk with Jesus about the night service. So I told my wife, I said, y'all get you something to eat, Betty. And I said, when my son George Jr. comes over, he'll work with you to get something to eat. And I said, and when he does, I said, how about telling him to get me a shirt? I said, I got to have a shirt. And he did. He got one. Well, I'll tell you what, you know what? Now, here's the thing. Something's taking place. When you see this trio reunited together, that trio has been broke up ever since Brother Branham's death. Did you know that? Right about the time of Brother Branham's death, that trio was broke up. And I told the people, I said, watch, and on the day when that trio is united together, you'll know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. You'll know that something's coming because the revelation of those children, each individual, I know what it represents. And you see them united back together. That means something is in the air. As Brother Dennis said, something's up above my head. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Something's up above my head. Something's taking place. We keep on, and even Toby will be shouting over there in a few minutes. Hallelujah. If you feel like shouting, you're an old sawdust trail down, you're an old sawdust tin, all you got to do is just get up and get started. Amen, that's right. If you feel like dancing, the Bible said praise Him in the dance. If you feel like shouting, just holler to the top of your voice because you can praise Him in the shout. If you feel like blowing Him horns back there, that's all right too. The Bible said to blow the horn. When Bride was standing up here tonight, him and Brother Hollis, I thought about Gable sounding the trumpet, didn't you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, God's good, isn't He? I told my people, I said, I want a tutor you. I want you to sit still. I want you to simmer down. I want you to listen. And then when you get full of the Holy Ghost, I don't care if you shout your shoes off. When you get full of the knowledge of God, you can dance and run and shout and sing and run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart, and he danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I want to be just like Brother Branham. And Brother Branham wasn't emotional. But I read where he got, the Spirit of God got upon him, and he acted like Elijah when Elijah outrun the horses of Jezebel. And he run around the tree and he shouted and he hollered and he run and he run and he run. And he'd run up and down the aisle when he was preaching and dancing, praising God. Come on, folks. This is not a dead gospel. Something alive, something's living, something's out there, something's in your heart. Hallelujah. Say, don't you believe in shouting? I sure do. Amen. When the Holy Ghost is there, you can shout all you want to. I don't believe in this man-made, built-up, rock and roll organ kind of a music. And I don't believe in that kind of shout. I don't believe in a manufactured speaking in tongues, and I don't believe in a built-up prophecy. I don't. But I believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost, and when God moves, I don't care if you stand on your head, as long as you stay decent, it's all right. Hallelujah! Glory to God. God wants us to praise Him. Praise Him in the dance. Praise Him any way you can. Praise Him. Just praise Him. If you can't do nothing but just put your hand up like that and wave your hand, the Bible said give Him a wave offering. Hallelujah. They gave Him a wave offering. If you can't do nothing but just lift up your hand, give Him a wave offering. But do something. Let God, let the people know that God's on the inside of you. Hallelujah. We're resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. He is the resurrection and He is the life. Woo, I feel the life. They say, well, you lost some of your audience. I saw it. I don't feel bad at them. I didn't feel bad at them people this morning that got up and went out. I didn't feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about these. I don't feel bad about it. See, there's Baptists, there's Methodists, there's Presbyterians, and then there's Christians. Come on. I said, there's Church of God, there's Assemblies of God, there's UPC, and then there's Christians. Amen. The Bible said it's first called Christians at Antioch. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. What are you tonight? Amen. Said they had a name that they live, but they're dead, twice dead and plucked up by the root. Hallelujah. Start doing anything but what they want you to do and they lose out. Hallelujah. God's good, ain't He? Somebody said, well, I'm Baptist. Well, that's all right. I was converted in a little Baptist church. Got full of the Holy Ghost and then become a good Baptist. You love the Lord? All right. We're thankful to be here tonight. Love the Lord. Sorry that the old gentleman got up, went out. They may have had to go, but a lot of times, folks, they just can't take the move of God and they just have to leave. And I trust that it's not that way with them. They're fine folks. They listen real well for a while. But you know, not trying to hurt people, but the devil puts people in our midst to discourage you folks. To when the Holy Ghost starts moving to get up and to leave and put a damper on things. He did that this morning. He tried to cause a young couple to interfere with God's moving the other night. Then today he tried to cause the same thing. Little Mike Trouble had somebody there to interfere with it today. Now somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that was the devil? Sure that was the devil. How do you know that the carnal mind's enmity to God? And any time you don't reverence the sanctuary of God, you're God's enemy. How do you know that? How do you know the Bible said enter into His courts with thanksgiving and into His gates with praise? How do you understand that? Any time that you disrespectfully get up in a service and walk out, don't you know that's the devil? That's not God. God's not divided. God's kingdom's not divided. Come on, folks. We can't go two ways at one time. We're either going one way or the other, and I'm going the one way. Hallelujah. So then I thank God tonight because His Spirit is here and because God is doing a great thing. Somebody said, well, you spoke in tongues and you ought not to have done that unless there's somebody here to interpret. We got somebody here to interpret. Got the Holy Ghost. How do you know that? Amen. He understands everything He says. Hallelujah. And besides that, I prayed for the gift of interpretation and don't claim the gift, but I've interpreted, so don't worry about it. If it comes to that, we'll interpret it. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. So there's nothing out of order. Now, I'm thankful tonight for the presence of God. I'm thankful because God is with us and God is helping us and God is doing something outstanding for us. Hallelujah. Now, I love you, and listen, when I rebuke you, like today, I reproved some people that got up in the midst of the service and walked out. The reason is because they did not have to go. There was somebody else that got up and walked out and did not reprove them because their spirit showed different and they had to go. And I found out later they did because they had to meet their son or daughter or somebody coming in on a plane. See, there's a difference, folks. A lot of times you may be pressed with necessity and have to take your little child out to the restroom or something. That doesn't interfere with the service as long as you're reverent. But when the devil puts somebody there to cause trouble, then we need to rebuke them openly. The Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love. Is that right? And the Bible said rebuke them openly that others might see and fear. Is that right? God wants us to rebuke them openly before the people, not do it in the corner, but rebuke them openly that other people might see it and be afraid to do that. That they might reverence the house of God. Now, when the minister does that, it isn't because he's mad with anybody except the devil. Is that right? The Bible said Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their heart. Is that right? He planted a whip and turned over the money tables. Is that right? Said, my Father's house should be called the house of prayer. Is that right? Now, after rebuking those people today, I didn't go off with malice. I didn't go off with bitterness. I didn't go off feeling bad at them. All I did was go to my bedroom and pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'd already rebuked them. That took care of it. But then my heart to God was to try to reach God for them, because they don't know what they're doing. When people walk out of a Holy Ghost service, they don't know what they're doing. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean a man can walk out of a Holy Ghost service and drop dead before he gets out the door good. Amen. I spoke to people like tonight and tell them what God said, and the next morning look on their face in the casket. I've done it. So see, you got to be sure that you're sure that you're sure. All right? Now, I appreciate you tonight. I appreciate the presence of God. I appreciate Him being here and the mic going off. Can't stop the move of the Holy Ghost. The rapture's going to take place anyway. How many believe it? Now, don't get discouraged. Somebody said, well, the mic went off. Now, it has killed everything. Didn't hurt a thing. Somebody said, well, you'll kill the spirit. There's no way. He's eternal life. You can't kill Him. Somebody said, you take the offer, you kill the spirit. Any spirit you can kill should be dead. Because you can't kill the Spirit of God. It's eternal life. Hallelujah. It's just as much alive as it ever was. All right, I want to read just a little bit to you here. If you've got your Bibles, you can move over to the book of St. Luke. Hallelujah. Here in the book of St. Luke, the 4th chapter. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into an high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. Over in the 31st verse, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Here in the 14th verse, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. I told my wife, trying to preach with a coat on, it always bothers me. I can start off all right, but then I have to get out of the coat. And I told her today, I said, when I get there tonight, I'm not going to stay in that hot, sweaty coat. And I'm going to preach my coat off. And lo and behold, Ricky come in with this shirt. George Jr. brought this shirt. And I thought, Lord, I don't know where I'll ever be able to pull that coat off or not. But anyway, I'm thankful to be here tonight. If I happen to get steamed up a little bit and pull it off, don't feel bad at me here. Now, notice this, that, you know, a lot of times we misunderstand, don't we? We misunderstand what God is doing, what God intends for our lives. We misunderstand the Scriptures. We get the wrong interpretation of the Scripture. And because of that, we do not get the full benefit of what God intends for us to have. See, God's got a lot of good things for us in store, people. If we can just be what He wants us to be where He wants us to be, and do what He wants us to do. He's got a lot of good things for us. And God is willing that we have every good thing that He's got for us. Now, He's willing for us to have every good thing that He has in the storehouse of God. Is that right? I am not against preaching things that Brother Branham preached. I am not against preaching what the Assemblies of God have preached. I am not against preaching what the Church of God has preached. I'm not against preaching things the Baptists have preached and the Methodists have preached. All of them has had some wonderful things, and I'm not against it. I'm not working against the people. I know there's some good old Methodist people that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that John Wesley was full of the Holy Ghost. I believe in my heart that those men back there loved God. History says that Martin Luther fasted so much that he almost injured his health. See, he was in the Catholic Church. And I believe that God was in that. And I'm not fighting them. I appreciate everything God did in the Baptist Church. I appreciate everything God did in the Methodist Church. I appreciate everything God did in the Assemblies of God and the Church of God. I appreciate everything God did in the UPC. I'm not against the churches. I know that they're divided up. I know that one has a part of truth over here. Another has a part of truth over there, and I'm not against them. But folks, let me tell you something. I'm not against bringing the old out. The Bible said not to move the landmarks of the old fathers. I'm not wanting to move the landmarks. Wherever God set a landmark, whether it was in the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, or whatever, I don't want to move it. If it's God, I want it to stay there. But there's one thing I don't want to do, and that's preach heresy. I don't want to believe heresy. You understand what I'm saying? I want the truth. The Bible said that they added to the Word of God, and they took away from the Word of God. And they added so much to the Word of God in the days of Jesus that when the Word of God came, they didn't even recognize the Word of God. Come on, folks. It was God that gave Moses that Word. But when the Word of God came, they added to it and took away from it so much that when the Word itself walked in their midst, they didn't even recognize Him. It's the same way today. The churches have added to the Word of God and taken away from the Word of God so much today until in the state that we're living in, they don't even recognize the revelation when it comes. They don't even recognize that Jesus had gave them the Word. They don't know when the gospel is being preached and when the gospel is not being preached. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? They say, well, it's not according to our doctrine. It's not what the elders taught us. Amen. I'm not against what the elders taught as long as it was the Word of God. But the Bible said to do away with the tradition of the elders. Is that right? And not to preach for doctrine, tradition, and heresy. Amen. So I'm not against the good that's been done. I'm for it. I want to take everything good that was ever in the Methodist Church. Everything good that was ever in the Baptist Church. Everything good that's ever been in the Pentecostal churches. The Bible said the good man brings out of his treasure both old and new. I'm not against the old. There's some good things back there. I'm not against it. The good man brings some old things up. But what I am against is when people refuse to have any new thing from God. When people say that God's not doing anything new anymore. When people say everything's over, God's not moving by Spirit anymore. Then I'm against that kind of preaching. I'm against that kind of movement. The Bible said He brings old and new. Old and new. Hallelujah. I'm for the old, but I'm looking for the new. Hallelujah. I'm looking for God to give us something new. There are some people that don't have anything new. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. When God gets through running the devil out, we'll have a service. Amen. It's right. The Bible said the wicked can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. And when God gets through cleaning it up and run the devil out, then we can have a service. Amen. You got a lot of hindrance, you know, and when the devil feels like he's defeated, then he takes off and leaves. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. I believe God's given us something new. There's something new in the world today. It's like the Church of Christ says that God don't do nothing new no more. Amen. They take the outlook that all the miracles has passed and God's not moving by the Spirit. You know what happens to churches like that? They lose their subjects. They tried to tell some of them that in Cincinnati, and one day I went back there and God began to do something and they lost one of their preachers, and Brother Franklin Taylor's been with us ever since. He was a devout Church of Christ preacher that preached their doctrine, that passed to their church and went to their college. But when we went by there preaching the truth of God and preaching the new thing of God, then brothers and sisters, he left that and he followed this. You know why? Because he found something new. He found something in God he didn't have. You say, what do you mean? He came to me and said, Brother Pike, he said, I've sat under the best tutors in the nation. He said, our professors are known to be the very best. And said, I've never heard what you're talking about. I've never heard anything like that in my life, he said. Hallelujah. And so then God done something new. God's got something new tonight. God's got something for you tonight. He's got something in the spirit tonight. He's got something he wants to share with you tonight. But you've got to come front and center. You've got to be willing to receive it. You've got to resist the devil so the devil will get away from you. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. You can't forsake the man of God. You can't have your own way. You can't turn away from the man of God. You've got to follow him. You've got to obey him. You've got to walk with him. Hallelujah. Now then, God is trying to do something for you. God wants to do something for you tonight. Look at Jesus. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, if I was just full of the Spirit, that'd take care of everything. I agree with you that it would take care of everything if you're full of the Spirit. But let me tell you something. Just being full of the Spirit isn't going to answer the problem. Just being full of the Spirit won't be enough. You've got to do something about it after you get full of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible said Jesus was full of the Spirit when he went into the wilderness. Is that right? He didn't have to go in the wilderness. He was already full of the Spirit. The Bible said he was full of the Holy Ghost when he went down into the wilderness. Is that right? But the Bible said he went into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil for 40 days. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit. Is that right? He came back in the power of the Spirit. What God wants tonight is to return the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You can be full of the Holy Ghost. That's good. I believe that the Holy Ghost is in the churches of today. I believe there's some people in there that's got the Holy Ghost, but they need to do a little something else. There's more to be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, I believe that God wants to do something for us. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Spirit. And the Bible said the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. He was full of the Holy Ghost when he went into the wilderness. You know, the Bible said to as many as believe, God gave them the power to become the sons of God. Is that right? Amen. Somebody said, God gave me the power, I'm the Son of God. It didn't say that. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. The Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost on all flesh. Is that right? But the Bible said that God gave you power to become the sons of God. You have the power tonight to overcome. Have the power to become the sons of God tonight. If you walk in the right way, God will make you a son of God tonight. He's given you the power. The Bible said when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. Is that right? God gives you power to become the sons of God. But that means that when we get the Holy Ghost, we got to do something about it, folks. That's why the Bible said, pray that God will give unto you the spirit of revelation. It takes the spirit of revelation to become a son of God. Amen. I want to be a son of God, don't you? But it takes the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. God's give you power to become the sons of God. Is that right? Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall make it. Hallelujah. Not everyone that God pours out His Spirit upon will make it. Is that right? Hallelujah. But them that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Are you doing the will of God tonight? Are you sacrificing yourself to God tonight? Are you withdrawing from your own way of life tonight? Are you willing to let yourself die and the old you be done away with? Hallelujah. God wanting to do something for you tonight. Hallelujah. To as many as believe, to them He gave power. Is that right? But let me tell you something. Having the power of God in you is one thing. Being in the power of the Spirit is another thing. Come on. Hallelujah. Having the power of God in you is one thing. Being in the power of the Spirit is another thing. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? But he didn't return in the power of the Spirit until he came out of the wilderness. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that Jesus didn't have the power of God before he went in? Let me tell you something. Jesus was a son and he learned obedience for the things he suffered to be our example. Jesus came down in this world as a human being. Is that right? Jesus had to suffer just like you did. He was born to baby just like you was. He had to eat and wash his hands and his face and his feet just like you do. He was ever a bit a human being. And when he went into the wilderness, he had to go there and fast and pray and overcome the devil so he could return in the power of the Spirit. To as many as believe, God gave them the power to become the sons of God. You say, Brother Pike, I've got the power tonight. Well, if you've got the power tonight, you can become a son of God. Jesus had the Spirit. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I like that. I like that tonight. The power of the Spirit. I like the idea of returning in the power of the Spirit. Don't you? Instead of manufacturing something, instead of working up something, and then come back in the power of the Spirit. Be anointed of God and have the power of God in your life. Take time to stay away with God like Abraham did, like Moses did, like Elijah did, like Paul did when he received the revelation. About 3 or 4 years over there, hid away in a desert. He wasn't doing any miracles. He wasn't doing any great thing, but he returned in the power of the Spirit. Moses went away and Aaron just couldn't wait. The people said, we've got to have a revival, so God gave them a revival. And they had a protracted meeting, but it wasn't in the power of the Spirit. That's right. To as many as believe, gave you power to become the sons of God. We've got the power tonight to become a son of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I'm already a son of God. That's good if you really are. But you can believe that you're a son of God when you're not a son of God. Somebody said, well, I'm what you, whatever you believe. No, sir. Amen. No, sir. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, if I believe in God, that means I'm a Christian. Then if that's right, the devil believes in God, what does that make him? He's still the devil. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes there's a God too. Does that make him sanctified? Does that make him a Christian? There's more to it than that, my folks. My brother and sister and Lord, there's more to it than that. God's expecting some self-denial. God's expecting you to withdraw from the world. He's expecting you to do away with the flesh. He's expecting you to swear to your own heart. He's expecting you to come under some tutors, under some overseers. God's got overseers. I said this morning, I believe in organization. Amen. I don't believe in denomination, but I believe in organization. I believe in being organized in God. I believe God's organized. I don't believe God's just scattered here and there. I've said this so many times. The sun comes up at a certain time and goes down at a certain time. The stars know their position in the sky. God doesn't just put them everywhere. God speaks against wandering stars. Is that right? So then we're to hold a position. We're to be something in God. We're to be organized in God. We're to be systematic. The Bible said it was God's way, Jesus Christ. That is God in Christ. It was His way to be in the synagogue every Sabbath morning. Is that right? So that He was a systematic God. I believe in being systematic. I believe in being organized, but I don't believe in being denominational. Hallelujah. I don't. When you get into denomination, you're getting into numbers. How many know that? Want to know how many's on the board? How many we got this morning? How many saved? That's right. They want you to fill out a report. How many got saved in your revival? And turn in a report. I know because I done been down that trail. I'd love to know who can turn in a report on how many saved in a revival. The Bible said God added to the church such as should be saved. You don't know whether they're saved or not. You say, well, they confess Christ. I know that, but that don't mean nothing. Amen. Somebody said, well, it says, whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's right. And the writer said, go over there, Paul, repent of your sins, call upon the name of the Lord, being baptized in Jesus' name. Come on. Hallelujah. Calling on the name of the Lord. That don't just mean Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says Lord, Lord is going to be saved. But the Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. There's more to it than that. So then, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He came back in the power of the Spirit. Why did He do that? Because He was full of the Holy Ghost to start with. And so He came back in the power of the Spirit. And don't nobody backslide now. Pull my coat off. I done apologized to you before I got started. You love the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. God's doing a new thing tonight. God's wanting to help you tonight. God wants to heal you tonight. Praise God. God can save you. God can heal you. God can raise you up. God can do something special for you. Hallelujah. So He returned in the power of the Spirit. To as many as believed, to them gave He power. Hallelujah. He said He gave them power over all the demon spirits. Is that right? Gave them power over all the powers of the enemy and said nothing shall by any means hurt you. Is that right? God said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Come on, folks. Have you got that power tonight? Have you got that power tonight? You say, I've got it. But have you returned in the power of it? If the power in you tonight, you say, yes. But are you in the power of the Spirit tonight? Hallelujah. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean this, when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, the Bible said virtue went out from His body and healed all that came to Him. You say, what is the power of the Spirit? It's the virtue that goes into your body. You've got to sanctify your body. You've got to die in your body. You've got to submit your body. You've got to turn to God in your body. You've got to serve God in the willingness of body. You've got to store up in this old body the virtues of God, just like a generator stores up electricity in a battery. This old body is a storage house. Is that right? Hallelujah. Did you notice Cain and Abel? When they gave their sacrifices, old Cain didn't understand, did he? He tried to give something out of the body. He brought that which was come out of the field. He brought that which was grown in the field. God wouldn't have it. Abel came over and brought the firstling of his flock. God took it. What was the difference? The difference was that God had placed the earth under a curse. God had placed the earth under a curse, and He brought that accursed thing. He brought that from the ground, that which God had cursed. God wouldn't have it. Is that right? Is that right? Hallelujah. God didn't curse the little lamb, did He? Did He? He didn't curse that. So then Abel knew the revelation. And Abel was saved. Do you know the revelation tonight? You say, I'm just as church as you are, Brother Pike. You might offer everything you can to God, but that ain't going to take you in. You're going to have a revelation of what God wants tonight. Hallelujah. Abel had the right revelation and he offered the right thing. Old Cain didn't have the revelation he thought anything would do. Old Saul was the same way. Saul went out in the world and tried to give God everything. And God got upset to him and sent up there and prophesied against him. Is that right? Samuel got down on his face and Samuel pleaded with God. And Samuel said, spare him. God said, I'm through with him. I done told him. He went contrary to me and I'm through with him. You know why? He tried to offer the accursed thing. But old brother David went and made his offering and God accepted it. Somebody said, what kind of offering did he make? He gave God his heart and God said, you're a man after my own heart, David. Though he stumbled and though he staggered, he'd give God his heart. He said, my ways don't please you, but my heart is perfect before you. So then God accepted his sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying tonight? God wants to do something for you, folks. God wants to help you tonight. He wants to bring you into something great and something mighty. Reach back and get some old and then add some new to it. God doing a new thing. Reach back and get some old and then add some new to it. Hallelujah, God's brand new. God doing something outstanding. God doing something for you. God doing something for me. God doing for something for anybody that will let Him do it. Hallelujah. Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Hallelujah, just tell Him what you want. To as many as believed to them gave you the power to become the sons of the living God. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents. I give you power of all the powers of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Jesus called 70 of them and put them in array. He called 70 of them and lined them up in battle. He called 70 of them and gave them power over the devil. He called 70 of them and sent them out in the world. He told them to go preach the gospel and they preached the gospel. Even Judas obtained part of the ministry. Come on. Is that right? They went out and they preached the gospel. They went out and they'd done great things. Come on now. They went out and they healed the sick. They went out and they cast out devils. Somebody say amen. They went out and they had a great tent meeting, as you would say. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, how do you know it was a tent? Because the Bible said this is a tent. Just stretch out your curtains. That's right. Strengthen your stakes and strain and spread out your curtains. Hallelujah. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, Peter said, and the tabernacle in the wilderness was a tent. Come on, folks. In this little tent right here, that right? They healed the sick. They done miracles. They done great things. They were outstanding in the ministry. That was a great revival. It swept over the world. But they were lacking in one thing. What was that? It's like the rich young ruler. He said, Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God or eternal life? He told him what he'd have to do. He said, if you'd enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, Lord, I've done all of this. Jesus said, yet lackest thou one thing. See, his confession was, I've done everything you told me to do, God. But Jesus said, you lack something. But he said, God have kept all the commandments. But he lied. He hadn't kept all the commandments. Because one of the greatest commandments, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, you're lacking in something. I told you if you'd enter into life to keep the commandments. Amen. If you loved your neighbor as yourself, you'd have shared your substance with them. Is that right? Jesus said, go sell all you got, take it and give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me, and then you'll have treasures in heaven. Is that right? But the Bible said he turned away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Is that right? A lot of people, you go to take an offering, try to do something for God, try to help the starving children over yonder. They turn away sadly. They say, well, I owe this for this bill and I owe that for that bill, and I got to pay this over here. And I don't see what I can do without that. Say, well, I know God understands. God don't understand. Amen. God don't understand that day when a little widow will stand there beside you when the man of God said, give me what you got. And she said, my Lord, I don't have nothing but this little old cake. And said, I'm going to eat that, prepared for my son who's going to die. What are you going to do when you stand in judgment of people like that? Hallelujah. Love the Lord. God loves you tonight. God wants to do something for you. But you've got to yield yourself up to God. Hallelujah. The rich man couldn't do it, could he? The rich young ruler couldn't turn it loose, could he? The little widow did, but the rich young ruler couldn't. Is that right? The same way with the 70 that God sent out. Something was wrong with them. They cast out devils. They done miracles. They worked great things, but something was wrong. You say, Brother Pike, what was wrong with them? Yet likest thou one thing. They didn't have the spirit of revelation. Come on. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. They healed the sick. They opened the blind eyes. They made the dumb to speak. Made the lame to walk. But one day Jesus met them. Jesus said, boys, you're doing fine. A great revival. Everything's going along real good now. Come on. Hallelujah. And Brother A. Allen this way. Brother Roberts that way. Billy Graham another way. You're doing fine. Hallelujah. But I got a revelation for you. Amen. My name is Jesus. Can you eat my flesh and drink my blood? And they said, Lord, we got too many followers. We can't go that route. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. The 70 had the revivals. But the time of the crisis came and God confronted them. And Jesus said, can you eat my flesh and drink my blood? Oh, but they didn't have the spirit of revelation. They thought they'd done run into a cannibal. They thought, now Lord, it's all right for us to work miracles, but when you start talking about eating your flesh, well, we're not a bunch of cannibals. But see, they didn't understand that God's words were spirit. Is that right? God's got a spiritual revelation. Cain didn't understand that God was a spirit. You understand? Oh, Brother Abel knew the transgression was by blood. Is that right? He knew the transgression was by blood. There had been a blood birth coming to the world. There had to be a blood covering from it, or for it. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He had a revelation from God. Those 70 didn't have a revelation. They didn't know what to do. A great revival. People had been healed. Great things that took place. Discerning of spirits. All those things that transpired. But then came the testing time when God wanted to know if they had the spirit of revelation. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. If you don't do it, you don't have any part with me. You might have cast out devils, you might have done great things, but unless you can eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part with me. Come on, folks. What was it? Something was taking place. They said, wow, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? And all 70 of them went away. And the tent meetings was over. And the revival ended. And everybody stopped shouting. Come on, folks. And the Bible said everybody forsook Jesus and left him by himself. Is that right? And he turned away with the 12 and he said, will ye also go? They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. There's nobody got eternal life but you. Lord, we might not understand altogether what you say, but God, give us the spirit of revelation. Paul said, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. If the churches would stop fighting, if the churches would stop being vainly puffed up, if the churches would look for the edification of God, God would do something for them. Somebody say amen. What is it? They're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. Got seminaries, got colleges, putting people in them, tutoring them. That's good, that's fine. I believe in studying. Solomon said, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the words of truth. But with knowledge and wisdom, he said, get a little understanding too. Knowledge puffed up, but charity edified. God didn't tell us to follow after colleges. He didn't tell us to follow after knowledge. He said, follow after charity. He didn't say, follow after gifts of discernment and gifts of healing. He said, charity. Pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. Why? Charity edified. If the church had followed after charity, it would have been edified. But it followed after knowledge and got vainly puffed up. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. So the great meeting was over. The great meeting was over. It looked like everything was washed up, but Jesus was fixing to do the greatest thing he'd ever done before. Oh, hallelujah. Pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Rise up and take the kingdom for God. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You love the Lord? He returned in the power of the Spirit. He did something in the power of the Spirit. To as many as believe, for them God gave power. What kind of power was it? All power over the powers of the enemy. Why do we have the power over the powers of the enemy? That nothing shall by any means hurt us while we become the sons of the living God. He wants you to become the sons of God tonight. We can be the sons of God tonight. We've got power. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I've got power to bypass death tonight. I've got power over death tonight. Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Have you know that the Bible teaches that death is the enemy of God and the last to be conquered? Is that right? I've got power over death tonight. I've got power over death tonight. The scriptures cannot be broken. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? We've got power tonight over death, but are we going to utilize it? Are we going to use it? Hallelujah. You might have the strength of Samson tonight, but if you never use it, it'll never do anybody any good. Amen. You might be able to preach like Paul, but if you never preach, it'll never do anybody any good. Is that right? So then we've got power tonight, but God wants us to use the power. The power's on the inside of you tonight, but God wants us to return in the power of the Spirit. Come on. You can't have God in you until you get the revelation. You can't have God in you until you get the knowledge of the Lord. You can't have God in you until you get born of the Spirit of Christ. We've got the power to become the sons of God tonight. We've got power to master death tonight. We've got power over all the powers of the enemy tonight. We've got power over sickness tonight. We've got power over devils and demons tonight. Got power over poverty tonight. But we've got to utilize it. The power in us is not enough. To have that power is not enough. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. The original rendering says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. Come on. Now, the King James Version says, you receive power after that you get the Holy Ghost. But the original rendering says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. That's what the original rendering is. You understand what I'm saying? So then we got the power. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got the power. That's the only power of God there is the Holy Ghost. But brother, just having the Holy Ghost, that's not enough. Having the power in you is not enough. You got to be in the power. You got to be in the power of the Spirit. Having the power of God in you is not enough. You got to be in the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To as many as believe, to them gave He power over the powers of the enemy, to become the sons of the living God. So then tonight we've got power. If you've got power tonight, If you got power tonight, you don't have to be sick. If you got power tonight, you don't have to be in poverty. If you got power tonight, you don't have to be bound by demons. You don't have to be in fear. If you got power tonight, you got power over all the powers of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. But have you returned to the power of the Spirit? You still have got the Spirit, Brother Pike. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the Spirit. Somebody said, if you got the Holy Ghost, that's enough. Listen, folks. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're just getting started. How do you know that? When you get the Holy Ghost, you're just getting started. Somebody said, when you get the Holy Ghost, that's everything. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're just getting started. When a baby's born into this world, he gets the Spirit of life, but he's just getting started. What is the Holy Ghost for? It's to guide you into all the truths and all the righteousness of God. It's to cause you to become a son of God by coming into the enlightenment of the Word and getting the Spirit of revelation. You follow me? So then tonight we've got power. But when that little child is born, that's just life. That life is just getting started. He doesn't know anything. When you're born to the Holy Ghost, you're just getting started. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you belittle the Holy Ghost like that to say that he's just getting started? I didn't say the Holy Ghost was just getting started. I said you're just getting started. Life in a baby's not just getting started. Life is great. Life is mighty. Life is in the great men of wisdom. But the baby's just getting started. You understand what I'm saying? So then God, you have life. That little baby's got life in it. But what does that baby have to do? It's got life in it just like a grown man's got life in it, folks. But that little baby's got to grow up in God. Isn't that right? That little baby's got to grow up in life. That little baby's got to mature. That little baby can't think like a grown man thinks. He's got life, but that life is to lead him into all the knowledge of the adults. Is that right? And when you get the Holy Ghost, you got God life. But that God life is just getting you started. You've just been born. You're just a little baby. And God expects you to grow up in the fullness of the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is to guide you from glory to glory. Guide you in the fullness of the truths of God. You love the Lord. The Bible said when the Holy Ghost has come, He'll guide you into all righteousness. Come on now. Some people ain't never got to the water hole. Somebody said, what's that got to do with righteousness? Said the Holy Ghost to guide you into righteousness. Is that right? Amen. John said, I have need to be baptized of you. But Jesus said, John, thus it becometh us to fulfill. Come on, folks. I said, some ain't never got as far as the water hole. They ain't got that much righteousness yet. The Holy Ghost ain't even been able to get them down in Jesus' name yet. Somebody said, that don't matter. Oh, yes, it does. To guide us, you think that God came down from His throne and walked on this earth down here and took time from His duties to come down here and do something that wasn't necessary? He was baptized. He was God. And He came down and was baptized. If He came down and was baptized, that means the doctor's got time to do it. That means the lawyer's got time to do it. That means the president's got time to do it. Nobody's busier than God. If it was important enough for God to do it, to be the head of His flock, to be the example He'd done it, said, follow in my steps, and it's important enough for you to do it. Somebody said, if you got the Holy Ghost, you don't need to do it. Well, Peter was in error then. Somebody needed to straighten Peter out. Is that right? You say, why? Because after that the Holy Ghost fell upon them down at Cornelius's, and after that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, said, seeing that these received the Holy Ghost the same as you and I, said, here's water. Who can forbid that these be baptized? And they were baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, folks. When you get the Holy Ghost, He just starts guiding you into the righteousness, and the righteousness is the baptism in Jesus' name. That's where you get started. Oh, Brother Peter had the right doctrine. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, 3,000 was added to the church that he set up. He set up the first church. Is that right? Oh, hallelujah. What a day that shall be when my Savior I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. This is a great thing that's taking place. Not everybody's going this way, folks. Not everybody's going this way. Don't you want to be in the power of the Spirit? I'm going to take just a few minutes long. I'm going to close now. I want you to watch just a few minutes. There was the whole gang of people standing around. There was folks everywhere. And there was Jesus in the midst of them. Is that right? Nobody getting anything. Nobody getting anything. There was no record where anybody was healed. standing in the midst, and all of a sudden a little woman came up. A little woman came up and she began to pray. She began to meditate. She began to believe. And the Bible said all of a sudden out of the body of the Lord Jesus went power. Out of the body of Jesus went virtue. That little woman touched the hem of a garment. The little woman said, if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I feel that I'll be made whole. And she had her faith in God, and she pressed through the multitude. And she got close enough to touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible said virtue came out of his body, and she felt in her body she was whole. Hallelujah. That's good, ain't it? Felt that something had made her whole. Hallelujah. A man came up to Jesus and he said, my servant is sick. Jesus said, I'll come over and do something about it. Oh, he said, Lord, that ain't necessary. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll come over and I'll help you out. I'll do something for him. But he said, Lord, that's not necessary that you do that. He said, you don't have to come over there. He said, look, Lord, said, I'm a man of authority too. Isn't that wonderful? You know, some people, if they have to work under a boss, they're so sure the boss is going to hell. If you got any authority in this world, everybody feels like you're going to hell. Come on, folks. But this man was under authority. This man was a boss. This man said to one to go and another to come, and they'd done it. Is that right? He was in a place of authority. He said, Lord, I recognize authority because I've got authority. Is that right? Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, God, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. That's where the trouble is today. We need a little humility. Somebody said, bless God, I'm Church of God. Somebody said, I'm Assembly of God. Who does he think he is? I'm UPC. Who do you think you are? Come on, people. But there was a man of authority. There was a man that was a dignitary. There was a man that was outstanding. But what was outstanding the most in the sight of God about him is he had humility. The Bible said Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. Come on. Mary would come over there and beat the timber a little bit, and God blessed her. Aaron, God let him officiate a little bit, and God blessed him. Is that right? But both of them got puffed up. Is that right? And then they come against Moses. Is that right? And God said, Miriam, let me have a little talk with you. Let me have a little talk with Aaron. Hallelujah. Said, wasn't you afraid to speak against my man Moses? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you'll overdo it if you say too much about the man of God. You'll overdo it now. Say too much about the man of God, you'll overdo it. Like Brother Wilson said tonight, you'll praise football stars, you'll praise the president, you'll do anything but praise God and God's people. I'm glad Paul said, I praise you in a good thing. Somebody said, all the praise belongs to God. When you praise God's people, you're praising God. You do it to the least of them, you do it to God. Paul said, they glorified God in me. You're never going to see God except in each other. Come on. Somebody said, when God comes, I'm going to give him an offering. When God comes down, I'm going to do something for him. I'm going to watch for him. I'm going to be kind to him. Folks, the only God you'll ever see is each other. God lives in human beings. If you've ever seen God anywhere else, I'd like for you to take me to it. God lives in human beings. A bird's not the temple of God. Amen. Somebody said, I think you'll overdo it, Brother Pike. I'll tell you what. I've seen a lot of platform men that introduced the preacher, but I've never seen anybody introduce an evangelist like God did. God said, I'm fixing to introduce my preacher Moses. Amen, said Miriam. Aaron, I want to introduce my man Moses to you. Said, there ain't nobody like him. Come on, folks. God didn't be one afraid he would overdo it. Somebody said, you'll get him lifted up. God said, let's lift him way up. Miriam said, do you think you're the only prophet? God said, prophet. He said, Moses, I've made you God to the people. Come on, church. I've made you God to the people. Somebody said, you think you're Elijah? Oh, Elijah's running way behind. Come on. Amen. Elijah's running way behind. The Bible said, there's none better than John the Baptist. Is that right? Notwithstanding, Brother Leon's far advanced above him. Come on. He that is a membership of the body of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God's far greater than John. And John was full of the Holy Ghost. John was full of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That makes him greater than Elijah. Hallelujah. There's sons of God here tonight. We're not Elijahs. We're not Moseses. We are far advanced above that. We're the sons of the living God. Moses looked for what I got. Elijah longed to see what I got. Them men longed to come where we're at, Brother Blake. Amen. But I'll tell you, we're sons of God tonight. We own this thing. We own it lock, stock, and barrel. Hallelujah. The servant doesn't abide forever, but the son abideth forever. Ooh, I feel good. Glory to God, I feel good. How do you feel good tonight? Ooh, I feel good. Hallelujah. See, we're sons of God tonight. The power of the Spirit. Folks, it's not by power or might, it's by His Spirit. It's by His Spirit tonight. If we try to do it any other way, it'll fail. But if we do it in the Spirit of God, it'll work. That's right. There's no other power but the power of God's Spirit tonight. You love Him? Stand with me, will you? I feel like we're just getting started. I could stay here the rest of the night. But we done preached to you today. You sat real patient today. And now you say you're patient tonight. I want us to sing just a little bit here. While I talk to you for just a minute, I wish somebody would get a mic over there and let them play a little bit more of that sweet Holy Spirit for just a few minutes there. God's good, ain't He, folks? Hallelujah. God's doing something. I tell you, this tent in this valley is really something. It has to do with a great thing. Oh, I'm so glad I'm here tonight. I'm so thankful tonight that God would let me come down here in this little group of people and enjoy the wonderful presence of Jesus. We were supposed to film these services. They're supposed to have been filmed. We had the video equipment. God gave it to us. They bought it. And we could have filmed it. But we messed around and didn't get the right lens. We could have pushed on and got them anyway, but I felt just to leave it alone. We was going to film all three of the services, but we can film them whenever we want to. We got our own video set anyway. But let me tell you something. God's doing something down here. Did you know it? Whether we filmed it or not, God's still doing something down here. God's doing an outstanding thing, Brother Richard. God's moving by His Spirit. Isn't that right? Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. Did you feel Him tonight? Did you feel Him? Somebody said, well, if He's resurrected from the dead, where is He? He said, if two or three come together in My name, there I'll be in the midst. How do you believe He's here in the midst tonight? How could He be in the midst of you tonight if He wasn't resurrected from the dead? Amen. God's here tonight to bless us. God's here tonight to help us. God's here tonight to lead us. Don't you love Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While they play just a little bit on the horns back here, go ahead whenever you get ready. I like that song, Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Sweet Holy Spirit. It's not by power or might, but by the sweet Holy Spirit. It's going to take a spirit, folks. It's going to take a spirit tonight to get in the Spirit of God. And then when you get in the Spirit of God, God will do something for you. Going to take a spirit tonight. You can't return the power of the Spirit unless you got the Spirit. You got to have the Spirit to be able to return in the power of the Spirit. Is that right? God's going to do something in this move He's never done before. Oh, somebody said, God ain't going to do nothing He's never done. The Bible said He'll do a new thing that something He ain't never done before. Is that right? His new thing is something He has never done before. God doesn't get old. Hallelujah. Today, I didn't pray for the sick the other night. I didn't pray for the sick today. I didn't want to hold you up. But I purpose in my heart, I pray for the sick tonight. I talked to God today. And I said, Lord, if You want me to pray for the sick, tell me before I go that You will be there with Your Spirit. If Your presence isn't going up before me, don't send me out to battle, God. Don't send me out to battle unless Your presence go before me. Is that right? We're in a battle with the devil. We're wrestling against evil powers. Don't send me out to battle, God, unless Your presence go before me. I said, Lord, if You want me to pray for the sick tonight, then tell me that Your power will be there and Your Spirit will be there. He said, I'll be there. Showed me by His Spirit He'd be here. So then tonight, I want to take a minute and pray for you. Today we didn't pray for you. I failed to pray for you, but I said, no, I won't pray for him today. I'll pray for him tonight. And there was a gentleman that called me outside. He wanted prayer. And I said, Lord, I'll pray for him tonight. Is anybody sick tonight? I'll pray for him. Somebody said, well, there's nobody sick. Practically every one of you is sick. Practically every one of you is sick. Going to the doctors all the time, having to keep pills everywhere, going to the doctors all the time. The whole world is sick. You love the Lord. You love the Lord. You know why I said that? I had a brother that had the wrong thoughts tonight. There's a brother standing in our midst tonight that took the wrong thoughts when I said I'd pray for the sick. He took the wrong thoughts, so I just thought to let him know that we know what's going on in his heart. God knows the thoughts of your heart tonight. The Bible says the words are discerned of the thoughts and intents of the heart tonight. It kind of shook him up a little bit because it caught him off guard. You love the Lord? While they're playing the song, Sweet Holy Spirit, if you want to be prayed for tonight, you'd step up here, I'll pray for you. Come on now, don't wait if you want to be prayed for. I don't want to take a lot of time of the service to hold the people up. Come on, folks. I'm this kind of fellow. I believe you're going to give an offering, give it. I don't believe in thinking it over 2 or 3 hours. If prayer line comes, if you want to be prayed for, come on. If God gives you a chance to be saved, don't wait. Come on. The Bible said, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Amen. When God wants to do something for you, that's the time to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. I feel the anointing of God tonight. I feel the presence of God here tonight. I feel like God wants to do something tonight. I felt the yoke broken. Where the anointing of God is, the yoke is broken. Is that right? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is that right? Don't you want to give your heart to God tonight? I want every one of you that's out there tonight to come around back of these people. I want you to come around back them tonight if you believe. If you're a believer tonight, the Bible says the believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. Is that right? I want you to come around tonight. I want to pray for you. You that are believers, I want you to believe with me. I want you to pray with me. I want you to believe with me. The Bible says a prayer of faith shall save the sick. I like that, don't you? It said, if they have committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. A lot of you have committed sin. A lot of you have done wrong. Now's your opportunity to get forgiven. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, that's taking it too far. But the Bible said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Is that right? Somebody said, that's the judgment. Said judgment will begin at the house of God. That it's not the preacher speaking, but God speaking from within him. It's Christ speaking from within his temple tonight. God's remitting your sins by believing in what God says through the temple. If God is the Word and God is speaking to you according to the way that you believe that Word, which is God, your sins is remitted or retained. Is that right? As God speaks to you, if you believe in that Word, which is God, then your sins are remitted. If God speaks from the temple and you believe in that Word, which is God, then your sins are remitted. But if you don't believe in that Word, then your sins are bound to you. And in the day of judgment, God will turn you into hell. Somebody said, Brother Pike, when I get to heaven, I'll have as good a chance as you do. Brother, if you don't accept what the minister says and believe in what the minister said, you're on your way to hell. There ain't going to be no hereafter for you. God isn't going to sit up there and judge you to see whether you're right or whether you're bad. You know, the church world is mixed up, folks. How many of you agree to that? How many of you agree to that? I've said this so many times in my meetings. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, we're waiting for the judgment to come. Isn't that right? Waiting for the judgment to come. But listen, folks, the saints of God ain't never going to go into no judgment. Come on! The saints of God will never stand in the judgments of God. Never. This is God's judgment. This is God's judgment. This is where God judges you. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Pike, don't you know someday we'll all go to the judgment and God will judge us?" I've asked this question, and I'd like for you to answer me this question. If that is true, the way the church world is teaching it, then that means that God's going to rapture a church out of here. Come on now. Jesus said a divided kingdom can't stand. They're preaching that. Is that right? If they're preaching that, then it doesn't agree with the other that they're preaching. That means their kingdom's divided and it has to fall down. Is that right? They're teaching that God's going to rapture the church. Is that right? And they teach that God's going to take them to the judgment to judge them. Is that right? Now, how's God going to rapture the church and then take them to the judgment? You mean God's going to rapture them because they're righteous? Let them live 1,000 years in the millennium? And the Bible said the great white throne of judgment comes after the millennium. And then after he's lived with them 1,000 years, put them before the judgment and see if they're good enough to be saints. Come on, folks. Got a divided kingdom. It can't stand. Can't stand. It can't stand. This is the judgment. Some men's sins go before them to the judgment. Some men's sins follow after them. God isn't going to love you and rapture you and then let you live with him 1,000 years and take you to the judgment, see if you're good enough to be his wife. See if you're good enough to be his children, is he? No, sir. Hallelujah. You just believe tonight and your sins are remitted. As my Father sent me, so send I you, Jesus said. Amen. That minister's got power tonight to remit your sins if you believe. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. Is that right? That minister's a lot more than you think he is, my brother. He's a lot more important than you think he is. He's been treated like dirt. But God said, "Will you not be afraid, seeing that he's the minister of God, that he's set there for your benefit?" Peter said, "Wrap them up and take them out." They lied to the Holy Ghost. "You did it to me, you did it to him." So then something is taking place. God's going to translate us. God's going to translate us. Is that right? Enoch was translated by faith. Is that right? Now then, do you believe that later Enoch's going to be standing in the judgment and God's going to see whether he's good enough to bypass death? The Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. Is that right? I've made this statement a lot of times. A lot of people say, "Well, everybody's done the penalty of death. They got to come back and die, Brother Pike." Not Enoch. Not Enoch. Elijah, yes. Moses, yes. Not Enoch. You say, why? Because Moses and Elijah was under the law. Is that right? And there's no justification by the law. But Enoch was a type of the church. Enoch was hundreds of years before the law. Enoch was justified by faith like Abraham was. And Enoch was translated that he should not see death. If he comes back and dies, then the scripture will be broken. Tonight you can be translated. How? By faith. By faith. Somebody said, "Well, you got to wait till Thessalonians. You got to wait till Thessalonians." Enoch didn't wait till Thessalonians. Come on. Oh, somebody said, "Well, God just done that for Enoch." Then God's respect a person in the scriptures broken, might as well throw it in the ocean. Is that right? Is that right? Elijah didn't wait for Thessalonians, did he? When Paul was caught up in the third heavens, he didn't wait for Thessalonians. When old Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, he didn't wait for Thessalonians, did he? You love the Lord. Jesus said, "According to your faith." According to your faith. Enoch was translated by faith. He believed it. He accepted it. He got it. If you're sick tonight, you can be healed by faith, folks. It doesn't matter what it is. God will do it for you. God will do it for you tonight. God loves you tonight. And God will do it for you. I want to pray for you tonight. And I want you to believe. This one thing I want you to get in your heart. Remember this one thing. That God has already justified you. How do you believe you're justified by faith? And the Bible said God's already sanctified you. Sanctified me when? Once and for all, by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. How many believe that? Have you got faith in what God said? I'm preaching the word tonight. That's the way your sins are remitted, by the word. Do you believe God sanctified you once and for all? Do you believe that? Then the Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Do you believe God's made you perfect forever? Is that right? Come on, are you staying with me? I said, God justified you, God sanctified you. God perfected forever.
Paul said you're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, and nobody can lay anything to your charge. But let's see if you can get this. The Bible said God glorified us. God didn't just justify us, God glorified us. What are we waiting on? We're waiting for God to preach it and then to believe it. God glorified us. God's glorified us. Can you say amen? Lift your hands up if you believe God glorified you. God glorified you, sanctified you, predestinated you, glorified you, justified you. Hallelujah, you're glorified tonight. You're glorified people. I've heard people say, well, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, that he wouldn't let his mother touch him because he'd not yet been glorified. That wasn't what it was. The Bible said he was a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He'd not yet ascended to God without spot. And he didn't want any spots on him, so he didn't let the woman touch him. Is that right? God has glorified you. You're God's glorified tonight. God's waiting for you to believe. Is that right? Calling those things that are not as though they are because God said they are. Oh, I like that. Somebody said you're going to die, but God said you don't have to. Paul said our mysteries are not all sleep. Calling those things that are not as though they are. What do you mean? If you are not eternal tonight, then say I'm eternal anyway by faith in God. If you believe you're carnal tonight, then say I'm spiritual by faith in God. If you're weak tonight, the Bible said let the weak say I'm strong by faith in God. Is that right? If you feel you don't have the redemption of the body tonight, say I'm redeemed by grace divine. I'm glorified because God said so. Jesus said it's finished. Somebody said, but we're waiting for the redemption of the body. That wasn't what Paul taught. Somebody said, but we're waiting for the redemption of the body, Brother Pike. That's not what Paul taught. What did Paul teach? He said, we're waiting to wit the redemption of our body. We're waiting to wit the redemption of our body. What is witty? Solomon said they sought out many witty inventions. Says the witty old gent. Somebody said, I'm at my wit's ends. Waiting to grasp the fact. Waiting for somebody to preach it. Waiting to hear it. Waiting to believe it. That Christ finished it at Calvary. That we're sanctified, justified, glorified, and redeemed in body, soul, and spirit. That's what's going to bring him back. That's what's going to bring him back. Oh, hallelujah. Calling those things that are not because God said they are. Not confessing a lie, but confessing the words of truth. Because he said it. I like that. I want to pray for you. While they play this, I want to pray for you just a minute now. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Everyone that come down here for me to pray for you, I want to take a few minutes and pray for you tonight. But listen, folks. You that didn't come to be prayed for, then you believe with me, will you? There's some great men in this crowd tonight. There's some great men in this crowd tonight. Amen. There's men that's got the knowledge of God. There's men that's got faith out there tonight. There's men that's fasted and prayed out there tonight. There's great women in this crowd tonight. There's women that's fasted and prayed. Hallelujah, that's out there among you tonight. We've had women in this tent meeting that's fasted as high as 20 and 21 days. Amen. We've had women that's fasted 7 and 13 days at a time. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, tonight as I pray for my brother James. Oh, hallelujah. Yea, I would say unto thee tonight, say not within thine heart that thou art a dry tree, for I say unto thee that the trees of God are full of sap. I say unto thee tonight that if thou canst believe, I will bless thee. Yea, blessing I will bless thee, and yea, multiplying I will multiply thee. And thou shalt not say that thou art a dry tree, for the Lord thy God loves thee, and the Lord thy God seeth thee, and the Lord thy God blesseth thee tonight, and the Lord thy God will multiply thee, and thou shalt bring many to perfection if ye will walk in the light of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Father, tonight, as I pray for my sister tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Uramandarianta ramoshaya. Uramandarianta. Ulamandaliandalamalo shiramarandarabosaya. Yea, and I would say unto thee tonight, thy handmaiden of the Lord, be thou not troubled, neither let thine heart be troubled. Believe in God, for God is thy strength. God is thy help. Yea, God is thy keeper. Yea, God is at thy right hand, that thou shalt not fall. I shall not let thee fail. Fear not, for lo, I am with thee. Lo, I shall hold thee up if thou shalt walk in the ways of Christ. I shall keep thee through the dark valleys of despair and through the chambers of death. I shall go with thee. And yea, I shall be a light and a lamp unto thy feet. And all that looketh upon thee shall know that I have blessed thee. For I, the Lord God, am thy exceeding great reward and thy strength. Yea, if thou shalt believe, I shall walk by thy side. Somebody say hallelujah. God loves you tonight. God wants to do something for you tonight. God will encourage you tonight. God's looking down tonight. God knows your heart tonight. God knows every one of you tonight. I feel him tonight, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Ramashandrabo Sidabarandrabo Saya. Oh, Ramandiandalamolo Shandrabo Saya. Hallelujah. Uramandaliandalamolo Saya. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for God, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel your presence tonight, Jesus. Uramandari antara mosiah. Oh, sandramo shandra mosiah. Uramandari antaya. Uramandari antara mosiah. Yea, I say unto thee tonight, I have seen the dark places where thou hast walked. I've seen the valleys of the shadow of death hover over thee. I've seen thine heart broken. I've seen thy footsteps low. But I say unto thee tonight, son, thou hast fought a good fight. Thou hast laid up for thyself a sure crown. Hold fast, fight the battle. Stand fast in the faith, quit like a man. I shall be with thee, yea, and thou shalt be victorious in the hour of triumph when thou needest me the most. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is moving tonight. Father, bless these little children. As I lay hands on them tonight, I ask you to bless them, Jesus. Touch them, Father, as they come up here, Lord, for me to lay hands on them. Bless little Bobby tonight. Bless him in the name of Jesus, Father, tonight. I ask you to touch him tonight. Father, bless Roger. Bless Roger. Oh, hallelujah. Uramandari antaramo shirabarandarabosaya. Ulamandali antalamalo shandalamalosaya. Uramashi andaramosaya. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. If we can believe in God, God will bless us tonight. Hallelujah, just believe. Brother Roger's heart's crying tonight for a word from God. He wants a word from God tonight. Don't you want a word from God? Hallelujah, the song said, I just heard from heaven and everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I wonder if we could sing that little chorus, can we? Can we sing that little chorus? Let's sing it together, can we? Hallelujah, let's sing it together tonight. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's gonna be be all right since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. So let us praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Now, I'm a little hoarse, but you can sing. I was down in Del Rio, Texas. Brother Gonzalez might remember this. And they called us over to another little place called Brownsville, I believe it was. Or whatever it was. It wasn't too far away from Del Rio. And there was a colored lady that was over there, and she was dying. Laying down on the bed, she was dying. She was passing away. An elderly person, they called me in to pray for her. And I went in to pray for her, and I went over. And she looked up at me. And she slipped her little hands up like that, little bony hands. And I started praying for her. And this is what she said. I was going to try to be an inspiration to her, but I've said this so many times, she was an inspiration to me. She lifted up them little hands. And I said, I believe God's with you. I believe God's going to help you. I want to pray for you. And that little old hand slipped up and she said, praise Him in the morning. She said, praise Him at the noontime. The little old hand quivering. She said, praise Him when the sun goes down. Hallelujah. Oh, let us praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love Him. Oh, love Him. Love Him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him tonight? I want to pray for one or two more here while they sing a chorus or two. You know, a lot of times we get in a hurry and say, well, God's done gone or God's leaving. God will be here all night. Hallelujah. The Bible said Jesus tarried in prayer all night. The song said, have you ever drank a cup of loneliness with Him? People get tired, but God don't get tired. People get weary, but God don't get weary. The only reason God quits is because we quit. Amen. God doesn't weary. The Bible said, can you weary God? Let's take just a few more minutes and I'm going to let you go. I've tried to close out every service that I preach to try to keep from weaving you. But I feel like I'm supposed to tarry just a little bit. The Bible said they tarried in the upper room till they all was filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, tonight as I pray for my brother Woody. Oh, Ramandari Antaramo Shirabarandarobo Sai.
I still feel faith here, my Lord. I still feel faith in this building. I feel faith in this heart. I feel faith moving tonight, God. I feel you speaking to the hearts of people tonight. I feel you want to help them tonight. Lord, speak to our brother tonight. God, do something for our brother tonight. Direct his heart. Oh, Jesus, direct his heart into the fullness of God tonight. Help him to make his decision tonight. Lord, he's conscientious. He wants to serve you, but he wants to be sure. He doesn't want to make a mistake. He wants to be sure. And I know that you're with him. I know that you're going to help him because I feel the Holy Ghost on it. Father, I feel the Holy Ghost on it. Hallelujah. The Bible said as Peter preached to him, the Holy Ghost fell upon him, and I felt the Holy Ghost fall upon us tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost upon us tonight. As he preached to him, the Holy Ghost fell upon him, and I feel the Holy Ghost upon us tonight. I see the tears streaming down our brother Roger's face tonight, which means he's made contact with somebody. He's made contact with something. The tears are streaming down his cheeks and he's standing over here. It must be real. It must be real. It must be real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight I pray for my brother. Lord, heal his body tonight. Oh, God, be with him tonight. God, help him tonight. Oh, God, speak to him tonight. God, do something for him tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.